It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Friday, March 22nd, with your host, me, Ray, and that good-looking kid with all that hair, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
I'm doing pretty good, Pops. Happy Friday to everyone. Friendly reminder, today's show, again, folks, brought to you by us, damn it, CarEdge.com. My dad and I, we started the company about 4 years ago. If we can help you get one of those Mazdas you just saw on the screen, the Chevy Trax, all sorts of vehicles for sale back through CarEdge.com. Now, Dad, every once in a while, we get some industry pros on the show with us. Let's have a warm welcome to a frequent guest on the channel. Yeah, here it is. Joe Lewis from J.C. Lewis down in Savannah. Joe, how are you? Yeah, great.
I'm good. Thank you all for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Joe, you're live from the dealership. J.C. Lewis Mazda down in Savannah, Georgia. J.C. Lewis has Mazda dealership, Lincoln, and Ford. They're in the Car Edge dealer network, a partner of ours. We really love working with Joe. If you're interested in purchasing a vehicle from Joe and his dealerships, please go through Car Edge, or you can try and reach out to Joe, but please try and go through Car Edge. It just keeps things straight. Joe and Pops, the big news today, it's not coming from CarEdge.com. It's coming from our friend, Car Dealership Guy. There are some layoffs happening in the auto industry. Super interested to get your take on this, Joe, but we'll start with you, Pops. Stellantis sent out a notice yesterday to a significant portion of their staff. Hey, guys, please stay home. Please work from home. Please be remote today. That's never a good sign. That culminated in this morning, 400 positions eliminated over at Stellantis in engineering, software, and technology. And that's one news story. This has happened a handful of times recently. So, for example, General Motors cut some factory workers at the end of last year. We also saw Stellantis relieving some factory workers earlier this year as well, 341 temporary workers. And General Motors, if I'm not mistaken, Dad, back in our home state of Arizona, they actually let go of nearly 1,000 people back in their innovation hub last year. We are seeing some non-trivial layoffs from these OEMs. Pops, I'll get your take first. And then Joe, obviously your boots on the ground. Let's get your perspective if this makes any sense to you. What do you think, Dad? What's going on?
Let me say this. If it impacts one person, it's non-trivial. It's never trivial to the people that it impacts. And I think I summed it up in the headline under my name today. If nobody wants it, you have to stop building it. Okay? And if you're going to stop building it, typically that means you're going to lay some people off because you don't need them to be building it at the moment. So I think what we're seeing is some necessary changes from some of these manufacturers saying, hey, we're profitable. We could be more profitable with lower cost. We haven't necessarily been building the right cars. So let's slow down what we're building for the time being. And if that means laying some people off, then, well, we're going to do what big corporations do, and sometimes even small corporations, and that's lay some people off.
Joe, before we get your take, I just want to add one more piece to the puzzle here, which is Cox Automotive put out their monthly update. And I know it's small on the screen. I'll zoom in just a second. But this is the brand inventory days supply, broken down by obviously all the different brands. And just to zoom in here, the brand that has the big days supply, there you go. You can see it now. Ram, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge. Dodge inventories are over a 240 days supply. Nationwide. So it's when you look at that data, kind of makes a bit of sense. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I was about to say, so that, you know, that graph kind of answers your question, in my opinion. You know, the market day supply is huge in some of these cars. And so what happens is when they go to the dealers and say, hey, we have this many cars in our wholesale, we want to send you 100 of them, the dealership's going, no, ours are sitting on the ground, we're not selling them, we'll take 50. Instead of 100. And then so what happens is the manufacturer is not able to get rid of all their cars, because once they sell them to the dealer, that's when it counts as a sale for them. And when they can't get rid of them all, then it's like, well, we might not need to produce X amount. So let's produce a little bit less. And then how do you produce less? You don't need as many people. So
Joe, do you guys have a CDJR dealership?
We do not.
You're happy you don't.
There's always a good time probably to have each manufacturer right now.
Yeah,
they're struggling a bit.
I'm going to put you on the spot because this was not a planned question by anybody. And well, as Joe well knows, I had no idea he was going to be here today. But let me ask you this hypothetical. If you were managing a CDJR dealership and knowing that all four of those brands are some of the slowest selling vehicles in America, what would your approach be to try and move the metal?
Man, that's a tough one. Because I think all of the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram stores are starting to get pretty aggressive. But the answer would be just to get aggressive enough where you're more aggressive than the ones around you, than the dealerships around you. Because at this point, you know, all the inventory sitting on your lot is accumulating interest that you're paying on it just sitting there. So the whole goal would be just to move it, even if it means losing a few bucks on most of the cars you sell. That's better than paying interest on cars just sitting there. So it would be a rough quarters, year, however long it takes. It would be rough, but you would just have to get them off your lot.
Can I bring this a little closer to home? Because there was an article in Automotive News this morning. The headline was, here, I'll jump up to it. The headline was, Lincoln dealers work to sell down glut of 2023 models. And Joe, I think in the J.C. Lewis family, there is a Lincoln dealership there. So, you know, obviously there were stop sale on certain vehicles, you know, last year, which is impacting this. But I just want to hit on something here. The loaner program changes. I read this and I... Anyway, we'll read it together. In addition to offering bigger discounts, Lincoln recently loosened the requirements to move vehicles through its loaner card program, telling dealers that 2023 models put in by the end of March only have to be used for 20 days or 500 miles, rather than the typical requirement of 6 months or 3,000 miles. Two Lincoln dealers who confirmed the program changes to Automotive News said they were designed to artificially inflate numbers, since retailers can report vehicles sold once they're put in the loaner card program. Quote, "They're just trying to get you to report them as sold," said one dealer who requested anonymity for discussing an internal program. Quote, "It's just a way to pad the numbers. It makes your inventory not look as bad as it is." Now, Joe, not going to put you on the spot on this one. I know you run the Mazda dealership, not the Lincoln dealership, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around all these moving pieces. You've got the OEMs laying people off. You've got changes in programs, of which we could also talk about the Nissan news from this week. I'm not sure if you heard about that, Joe, but Nissan actually offered anywhere between $500 to $2,000 to dealers in cash to take cars, which was a new thing. This loaner program changes, building inventories. It's like the auto industry went from the highest highs to like going back to pre-pandemic. It is, you know, in a heartbeat. It's pretty shocking, I think. What do you
think of it? You know, I think what happened was, and it's obviously a lot more complicated than this, but I think we went from a time where, I mean, my Mazda store had 6-7 cars on the ground at one point. And I think it went from, like, you know, telling the manufacturer, "Hey, we will take anything you make, just send it. We need inventory." And then, you know, building not just cars, but a ton of cars isn't something that happens overnight. So I kind of think what happened is all the manufacturers were like, "We need a lot more cars." And so everyone ramped up. And then at the same time, interest rates went up and, you know, prices of cars went up. And so I think it was just like a perfect, you know, a perfect storm where by the time all the cars got made, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, the prices are so high and inventory is so high. It's like, well, now the demand's not quite there.
Definitely.
Are you finding an affordability issue for a lot of your customers that come in that perhaps they're a little bit shocked to find out what their payment is?
Yeah, absolutely. With Mazda, not near to the extent as you have with, you know, Ford and Lincoln. I mean, you can go buy a $125,000 Navigator Black Label now, which is crazy. But with Mazda, really the main time we see that kind of sticker shock in affordability is, I'd say, in like the higher trim CX-90s. But which, you know, those can get up to right around 60 grand. But luckily with Mazda, it's a brand that their bread and butter is that, you know, $30,000 to $40,000 price range. So it's not quite as bad with Mazda, which is nice.
Let's bring this close to home for a second. So the lead story today was obviously Stellantis. There's layoffs over at the auto at the Chrysler automaker. This comes on the heels of earlier in this year, more layoffs over at Stellantis, and last year layoffs at General Motors, both at the factory and their quote unquote innovation hub. You tie that in with the other news from this week: Nissan paying cash to dealers to take inventory, Lincoln modifying their programs to try and mark vehicles as sold. Joe, before we came on to today's show, I asked you a question. I said, do you have a single vehicle or a handful of vehicles at your lot that you're specifically trying to move? And you came up with one stock number. And I want to talk about this car because I think it's like we're talking macro, but let's talk micro for a second. Like, you have one car that you are especially interested in selling. Help us understand why that is.
Yeah.
What's the driver?
I'm going to pull my inventory up so I can give you real time data right now.
Appreciate that,
Joe. So, yeah, so we got to as low as 40 cars in inventory, and you know, we're a store that sells 50 or 60 new Mazdas a month, so we had less than a 30-day supply of cars. Finally, my allocation's kind of kicking back up because we had a strong December, January, February, so my cars are starting to roll in right now. So I've got 64 on the ground now, but out of those 64, my first oldest car is 189 days old.
Let's pause on that for 1 second.
65 days old.
So let's pause on that. Yeah,
that 189 day old car is the one that I'm allowing you guys to practically give away for me.
All right, folks,
if I can get rid of that one, my inventory is in a fantastic spot.
Let's talk about like the rationale and your thought process behind that. To be clear, though, folks, if you are interested in that Mazda, it's a Mazda 3, right?
Yep, it's a Mazda 3 hatchback manual transmission. I know a lot of you younger guys and gals watching don't know how to drive a stick, but this one is a stick, 6-speed.
Yeah, I don't even conceptually understand what that is. For those of you that are interested in a manual Mazda 3 that Joe's looking to give away, go to caredge.com. Put in here that you're interested. It's a 23 or a 24, Joe?
It's a 24.
So put in here 2024. Wow. Put in Mazda. Put in Mazda 3. Now, the thing is, the catch here is that for Joe's dealership, we're only shipping vehicles within certain states. So you got to be in the Southeast, unless you really want to pay for shipping. We can ship it wherever you want. But if you put in a zip code here that's relatively close to the Southeast, so like, you know, Georgia, all the way out to Texas and all the way north to Maryland, that'll ultimately take you to a screen that looks something like this. If I'm not mistaken, Joe, it's this one right here.
There she is.
There she is, folks. You'll be able to click on it. The price is actually going to be a little bit better than what you're seeing here on the website, I'd imagine. I think we're a little bit lower than that. But anyway, we'll double check and confirm. Just let us know that you want this car.
Does that have the Bose upgraded stereo?
Yes, that one does.
Oh, my. You know.
Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it.
No, I mean, driving a stick is fun. And, you know.
I know.
And if you're driving.
You'd look good in that car, I think.
Oh, I know I would. You know, and. What I was going to say is, you know, if I'm only driving like 60 miles a month, I mean, it doesn't, I mean, both legs can work, you know, and truly driving a stick is fun and it would finally
keep me young.
Yeah. And keep me young. And maybe I could teach Zach how to drive a stick.
Yeah. Give us the rationale, Joe, on your end. Like that particular vehicle, see, it's at 189 days. The second closest oldest is 65 days, something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a thing that we call in the car business called holding cost. And, you know, there's a holding cost associated with every new car on the grounds because we don't own all the cars outright. Right. So we pay interest to Mazda Finance to hold all of our new cars on the ground. And, so whether it's, you know, $20 a day, $40 a day, I don't know the exact number on that car, but we're paying daily. Let's say it's $40 a day. Multiply that by 189. I mean, that's a lot of money for that car to be sitting here. So the quicker I can get that thing off of my lot, the better. I'm always more eager to sell the oldest stuff on the lot versus the stuff that just came in off the truck.
You know, the way I used to do that, Joe, I used to pay a higher commission for older vehicles. So
I sent out an email group wide to all six of our stores early this week on that car, saying I'm going to pay an extra flat to anyone who sells this car.
Yeah, because what I used to do when I ran an Acura store, you know, if I had six white TLs, it took me forever, but I finally trained the salespeople to come in and go, what's the oldest white TL that we have, as opposed to the youngest white TL that came in yesterday? And I would pay them more to sell the oldest one.
Yeah.
It was just, to me, that made more sense, because the average person has no idea how much it costs to have a car sit on the lot. And you, I think, can verify this. The average person thinks that if you're selling a $30,000 car as the dealer, you're making 10 grand.
I wish.
Yeah, I know you do.
I wish.
Well, you might have to sell 10 cars to make 10 grand, but that's a different story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So to put it in perspective, that Mazda 3, MSRP is $31,515. Mazda's invoice on that car, I've got to pull it up now, is $30,756. All right. So there's like $800 between MSRP and invoice. There's a little bit of holdback there, $304. But I'm willing to sell that car for $28,999. That's I was going to text you that, Zach. That's my quadruple net number on that car. $28,999. I mean, I'll just be straight up. That's, you know, I'll be losing $1,000 or so or more.
Let's rationalize that. And it makes sense to you to do that business wise. Why? And for those of you that are interested, if you go to the website, you can't figure it out, just email me, Zach, Z-A-C-H at caredge.com. Let's help Joe out. And this is, I think, if we can say it, pat ourselves, this is transparency to the nth degree, but like, why does that make business sense for you to do that? Well,
so think about this. So if I can sell that car right now, and let's say I lose $1,000 selling it at that number, to me, that's better than if I hold onto the car for another 100 days and have to pay $20 a day in interest to hold it. Well, that's another $2,000 I'm going to pay anyway to hold on to it for another 100 days. So I'd rather lose $1,000 now than hold on to it and lose $2,000 in 3 months.
Wow. Where does service loaner come into play here, Joe? Because I know you and I personally have had conversations around that. Like, hey, I'm going to put something in the service loaner. And you've always made it clear to me, you don't want to do that. Like, where does that play into this? Or how does that play into your thinking?
This would have already went in there, but since it's a manual, I can't put it in the loaner program. So that's another reason why it's there. I had a couple older cars, but that I threw in last month. But you know, putting them in loaner with Mazda is a little different than some of these other brands. You know, usually it's a combination of what's my oldest inventory that can go in there, but I'm not just going to throw in the oldest because I don't want a ton of the same kinds of cars in loaner, right? So if we need a CX-90 or a CX-5 in our loaner program, I'll look for the oldest CX-9 or CX-90 to put in there.
Does Mazda ever pressure you to put more cars into kind of like what Lincoln was doing on their service loaner, saying, hey, do us a favor. It only has to stay in service loaner fleet for 20 days or 500 miles, and you can take it out and sell it.
So luckily Mazda's different, and I kind of like the way Mazda does it. So with you know, Ford, it was at 1,200 miles, then it went to 500 miles you had to put on the car. And then you sell them as like quasi new, right? Yeah. You know, people see the miles and they think, oh, that's a new car, but it's or a used car, but it's never been titled. So technically, on a titling standpoint, it's a brand new car.
Yes.
People see the miles, they think it's used. With Mazda, we title the car. So our loaners come out as CPO.
Yes.
And Mazda pays us to keep it in there up until 180 days. So,
gotcha.
I like to keep them in the full 180 days to take advantage of all the money that Mazda can give us. Plus, you know, if you have a titled car that's got 500 miles on it, you know, there's going to be a lot more depreciation than what Mazda sold us. So I'd rather keep it the whole 180 days, let it come out with 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 miles on it, and then sell it then. And when you buy a certified pre-owned Mazda, you get an extra 12 months, 12,000 miles of limited warranty, and you get 100,000 mile powertrain. So That's a really smart way to buy a Mazda if we have a CPO that matches what you're looking for.
You know, when I was with the Mini Store in Baltimore, it was the same thing. You literally titled your service loaners. They had plates on them, hard plates, not dealer tags.
That's what ours have. Yep.
Yeah, and so they literally were used cars. And you know, I remember there were times, you know, we might take a car out of service loaner fleet 30 days in. If that was a particular car that a customer, I've got to have that car.
Yep.
You know, we would take it out of service loaner fleet.
We've done that too, especially on the Ford side. With Mazda, not quite as much because they're a little more out of sight, out of mind, and it's kind of a teaching thing almost, like programming the salespeople to know once it's in the loaner program, it doesn't exist until day 180 once I ground it.
Let me ask you one other silly question, if I may. How many cars do you normally keep in service loaner fleet for Mazda? Just out of curiosity.
Mazda likes us to be at a minimum of 12. It kind of all depends on how busy your service department is and how many loaners they need. I like to put about 4 every month in because we usually end up taking 3 or 4 out every month. And that'll, on a 6-month rolling average, you know, 6 times 4 is 24. So I'll keep about 24 loaners in there at one time, which is good because at that point we're not having service customers come in wanting loaners and we don't have them. Usually we've got some to spare to put people in.
Are the service loaners complimentary for the customers?
Yes. Yes, they are. So sometimes it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but I'm always back there making sure that they're, you know, even if someone comes in for an oil change and doesn't want to wait an hour and a half, you know, offer them a loaner so that they can go get breakfast or go get lunch or run some errands and come back at the end of the day when their car's done. If we've got a loaner available, I want to be offering it to everybody because it's such a nice thing to be able to offer people. I mean, no one wants to sit in here and wait 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever. You know, the case is.
Hell, your salespeople don't want to do that.
Definitely. Hey, well, Joe, I just want to remind everyone again, you know, if anyone is interested in that aged Mazda 3, they can go directly to JC Lewis. If you do, you know, try and find your way to either Joe or David. I don't know if all the salespeople are on the up and up with everything that we're doing to promote this, but let's try and help Joe move that thing or just go back to carage.com or get in touch with me. Let's help Joe out. We'll do an update on this before the end of the month. And I want to jump to the chat here. We've got so many incredibly kind contributions.
I just want to remind folks that car has an MSRP of 31.5-ish.
Yeah.
And it can be purchased today for $28,999.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't happen every day, ladies and gentlemen. So
there's I mean, we price our cars aggressively as ourselves. CarEdge prices them, you know, a smidge more aggressively than I would like. That car is priced more aggressively than either one. That car is, if you're looking for a deal and that's roughly what you're looking for, that's it.
I just wanted $28,999 plus tax, title, and license, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start sending the emails to Zach at zach@carEdge.com. And he won't be able to do anything but try and sell that car today for it.
You can like see it's like you jump back. You just like went back. You were in the time machine right there, Dad. It was pretty cool.
I can't help it. I spent
Joe, thanks for joining
years.
Us. Thanks
Thank
for
y'all.
Joining us.
Thank y'all
Go
for
have fun.
Me.
Have a great Friday. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Joe.
See you, Joe. Crazy the layoffs that are going on, and then crazy to get the perspective of someone who's like literally day in, you know, dealing with this and
doing
seeing
this
it. Yeah,
it's, on a daily it's basis.
We got to go to the chat, man. There have been so many kind contributions that have come in. Frank is on the CarEdge team. Frank, thank you for donating. I will expense reimburse that. Hey, Joe, let's sell some Mazdas. Thank you, Frank, for being here. We've got Dad from Brandon Lane. Good evening, Ryan. Zach, a little early for that, but we appreciate the sentiments, Brandon.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Austin, Austin, appreciate the contribution. I was able to get a 2024 Mazda CX-5 Carbon Edition leased at the following terms: $1,800 out of pocket, $399 a month for 10 years. Excuse me, for 10 years, 10,000 miles a year. It sounds like a good deal. Yeah, I think under $400 payment on a CX-5 is a job well done. Congrats on that, Austin. We have here from Self Dad. Thank you, Self, for the kind contribution. Looking for a 2019 or newer Mercedes C63 AMG. What do you think about pricing and deals? Those things are depreciating like crazy. So I'd imagine you could find one that's depreciated fairly well. But I also think used car prices, Dad, have been high for a while, and that would probably be the case still on some luxury cars.
And,
like this.
And I'm thinking that is still a quasi specialty type vehicle. But mm-hmm. I would say this: a 5-year-old C63S AMG, I would just be a little careful with that, because that could be an expensive car to maintain. And please, 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 whatever one you find, make sure you get a pre-purchase inspection done, because a lot of people that own those cars, they're performance cars, and they figure, well, if I'm paying this much for performance, let's find out exactly how it does perform. So oftentimes in many cases, they might have been somewhat abused. So please get a pre-purchase inspection done. And as far as pricing, I would ask that question on the community forum. I really have not a good feel for what the pricing should be.
I think you're right, though, that the C63S especially is more of a specialty. Like, there's just not that many. And so that's why you're going to see a lot of folks hold firm on price points.
Yeah, because there just aren't many.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, man, we see that.
Yes.
See that day in, day out right now with the freaking Prius, man. Like, every dealer that we know has one in allocation every month. And, you know, anyway, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Worked only 2.5 days last week, or 2 out of 12 days? Worked only 2 out of 12 days? No, 2.5 days.
Yes.
Last week at Dana in Toledo, this week, 2.5 so far. We'll see what happens today, and not working this weekend. Slowdown is on. That was the lead story today, is you've got layoffs happening at the automaker level, and then we get insider information from folks that work at suppliers like you, Robert, and others that are sharing with us, hey, things are slowing down at the top of the funnel. I think we're just watching an industry. It's like a boat, man. They just can't turn directions that quickly. It's like the Titanic.
Takes time. For the boat to slow down and be able to make that turn. And so the manufacturers might be reacting late, but that's because it takes so long to slow that boat down.
Which means we should probably continue to see the pressure on dealers, the pressure on automakers for months to come.
Yes.
We didn't even talk about it with Joe. His inventory is low, but Mazda's national market day supply is 102 days. That's high.
Yes. Yes.
Expect to see continued, you know, strong incentives from Mazda and the other brands that have an oversupply of inventory in the near future. Uncle Bob.
Thank you, Uncle Bob.
Thanks for being here, Uncle Bob. After a month of searching and working dealers, I got my 2024 Honda Ridgeline Black Edition yesterday. Let the dealer make more than I ever have before, but the OTD was $200. Under the MSRP. Your channel and website were invaluable in prepping for tactics I'd not seen in 30 years of making minimum profit car deals. Thanks. Hey, your OTD being less than the MSRP is a huge win.
Yeah, that is. That really, really is. That was a great job. And as I like to say, I'm ever so thankful that we could help in some small way with you navigating your recent car purchase.
And then, Dan, we have from Grease Belly Garage. Good to see you, Grease Belly Garage. Cheap cocktail money for you guys. Thanks for the great guidance for buying 2 Hondas in one day, way under MSRP. Gracias. Congratulations.
Yes.
Hondas under MSRP is a job well done.
Yeah, and you know what's really funny? Because it is cheap cocktail money for us guys, because neither one of us really drinks. Zach doesn't drink at all anymore. And occasionally, I'll have a glass of wine. So yeah, it's kind of funny that $20 could last a lifetime the way we drink. So
really could. We appreciate the sentiments. And then from Self, thanks, Self.
Yeah.
Here's another $5 for answering my question. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I'm only looking for 2019. Okay, let's help Self out. Let's go. All right, here we go. I'm gonna come back. Let's do this. Let's see if we can help Self out a little
bit.
By
the way, that is a good looking Mazda 3 hatchback. You know, definitely. If you remember correctly, when when you quit pit, that's what I bought for you, was a Mazda 3 hatchback. Yeah, you had that gray Mazda 3 hatchback with the roof rack on it, and yeah.
I think I got to do it this way. Give me a second. Then I got to go.
We'll give you all the time you need, buddy, because that's just who we are as a group.
Okay, so our car search, yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at sedans, but our car search shows 39 of them nationwide.
Wow. That ain't like a lot, is it? For a nation of 330 million people.
No. Let's look at like this one. They've had it 34 days. I mean, cool looking car. Price history on it. Yeah, I mean,
is it at a Mercedes-Benz dealership?
This one is at, yeah, this is a certified pre-owned at Mercedes-Benz of Stephen Creek.
Okay. So what is that add to the warranty on a pre-owned?
I don't know Mercedes CPO.
Yeah, I don't off my head either, honestly.
But it's, I guess the point here is there's 40 of them or 39 of them for sale nationwide. Like that, I think should set the tone for expectations deal making wise.
So the dilemma is you can want it, and there's probably 100 other people that want it. And so they're going to hold to their pricing pretty much, because they know it's a limited supply car. You know, they have access to the same information we do. And they know there's still a market for those cars. So, yeah, 100%. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hey, Just the Cinnamon Bun has joined us. The bun is back, baby. Thanks for being here, Cinnamon Bun.
Yeah.
You guys think the car market will be back to somewhat normal in another 18 months from now? My lease ends in 18 months. A year and a half from now, where is the car market? Wow.
Well, I don't know. Well, interest rates will have started to come down by then, assuming that we don't go into a deeper inflationary state. So the Fed would be lowering interest rates. Hopefully, between now and then, manufacturers will have listened to their dealer bodies and started producing in greater numbers more affordable vehicles in the under $30,000 price range, and maybe in the $30,000 to $35,000 price range. And I would imagine that we will continue to see inventories build and incentives to increase even during the next 18 months. You know, one of the things that we didn't touch on that Lincoln situation.
Yeah.
The average incentive spend on those vehicles for Lincoln in January and February was $4,665 in incentive spend to help sell those vehicles. Which was what, more than double what it had been? Okay, up 65% from the year earlier. So that gives you some indication that we should continue to see incentive spends go up, whether it be customer cash or artificially lowered interest rates that the manufacturers are paying for.
Yeah, 100%. Huge, huge increase. Excuse me, in incentives that are being outlaid. Not only are there layoffs happening to cut costs, there's also increased costs and incentives, or in Nissan's case, trying to pay dealers to actually purchase these vehicles. We're going to keep that. You don't have an electric show today, do you?
Do not. Justice is a little bit under the weather, so there is no electric show.
We're going to keep rolling here. I do want to remind everyone, we just had Joe Lewis from JC Lewis, the general manager over there, CarEdge.com. He's got a Mazda 3 that he is trying his hardest to move on from. Just go to CarEdge.com, type in here, 2024 Mazda 3. You have to be within, I think we have the range set up to like 1,000 miles of his dealership right now. So I'm going to use an example zip code 31, oops, let me put it in 31032. That's in Savannah, Georgia. If you're there or in the surrounding states, this should work just well for you or not. Give me a second. Oh, I think it's on the model here. So I'll have to, yeah, all right, I'll get with the team on that one. But model here, anyway. All right, you got to find the model.
It's a beautiful black.
It's right there. It's right there.
Mazda 3 hatchback with the list price of $31,500 and change. Bose stereo system, 6-speed manual transmission. I'm telling you, and driving a manual is really a lot of fun. You have no idea because you don't know how to do it. But you know, I'm thinking for my 1.5 mile treks that I take, you know, because I was at Castles this morning. Think of how much fun it would have been to be shifting through three gears.
Just then, there's aged cars out there, and folks are looking to get rid of them. Let's come back.
$28,999, ladies and gentlemen. $28,999.
I love how he's MSRP. Here's what invoice price is. Here's how much holdback I get. Here's how much it's costing me a day to have this car. That day, I love that. Yeah. We've got here, Dan, from Jermaine. Thank you, Jermaine. Does OTD price matter when I'm leasing?
Yes.
Looking at a Nissan Pathfinder SL.
Let's talk about
that a little bit.
It's not the OTD price that matters. It's what the agreed upon selling price is. So, in other words, if you're looking at a Pathfinder, and I have no idea how much they are, but let's say it has an MSRP of $45,000. And you can negotiate, I don't know, $3,000 off of that. So that the leasing company would end up buying it for $42,000, that lowers your payment. The cheaper you can get that vehicle for the leasing company to have to buy it, the cheaper your payment becomes. So if on a 36-month lease, every $1,000 equates to $30 in payment, if you can get $3,000 off, that's $90 less that your payment's going to be. So on a lease, what you are negotiating is the discount, the agreed upon discount and the agreed upon selling price to the leasing company. Now the leasing company is going to add some things to that selling price, like the lease acquisition fee. In many cases, that's $895 or $995 or $695. For most leases, that also includes gap insurance for the lease. It does not on most Toyotas, but on a lot of the other brands, it does. So you want to negotiate a discount so that you're lowering the cost to the leasing company, and that positively impacts your payment.
Jermaine, in addition to what my dad just shared with you, caredge.com/deal school. I'm going to pull it up on the screen. We don't spend enough time talking about Deal School. Deal School has an entire section on how to negotiate a lease. Deal School is 100% free. You might see some folks out there that build car buying courses that you have to pay for and things like that. This is 100% free and it comes from us. Everything from how to find a vehicle, how to get ready to go to the dealership, how to negotiate your deal, how to negotiate a new lease. And we talk about finance and insurance, and obviously your congratulations at the end. Every section here as well, Jermaine, and this is free, F-R-E-E. Every section here has the video lesson, which we could look at, and key takeaways, as well as your files, your downloadable files that you can keep. And if anyone has asked any questions about a particular section, they show up here in the chat as well. So please, guys, I don't do a good enough, I talk way too much about all our other crap. This caredge.com/deal school, Jermaine, absolutely everything my dad said. And come here and just watch the lesson 13 of 27. Please, please, please. We should spend more time talking about that.
And may I say one other thing? There are any number of comments that I see where I guess they're trolls or they're haters that always say, oh, well, the cost to use your website is outrageous. It's free. Okay. Now, if you think free is outrageous, well, I think you're just trying to, I don't know, mislead those who might follow CarEdge. Now, Do we charge for certain things? Absolutely we do. But 98% of the stuff is I know you hate when I do this.
I know. I just want to go. All right. Let's keep moving. Space Cadet.
Yes.
I have a 2014 Kia Soul that has a new engine and catalytic converter. They were replaced because of a recall. What's the best way to know how to price it? I guess if you're looking to sell it, that's what I'm inferring here. Is anyone going to care?
Well, they might to a certain degree, but it's still a 10-year-old Soul. The body and the shocks and everything else have however many miles on it and 10 years worth of use. The engine and catalytic converter do not. The important thing is, what's the warranty on the engine, and is that transferable to the next owner? So I think you're going to have to price it like any other 2014 Kia Soul.
Go ahead, get your Black Book value back on the CarEdge website or plug it into CarEdge.com/sell to get an idea of what it's worth. And then you can list a private party for more. Taker 610. Thank you, Taker. I don't know about you guys on the East Coast, but gas prices in my area went under $3 for the first time in years, but it was short-lived. Now $3.39. Yeah, we haven't really been talking about gas prices. They've been fairly in check.
Well, honestly, I have no idea. The last time I put gas in my car was, I think, in January. I've used 3/4 of the tank, and it says I still have 124 miles to go. So at this rate, that's another 10 weeks. So, you know, maybe in May I'll get gas again. Now I'll probably get gas sooner than that, but I have no idea what gas prices are. And I buy gas so infrequently that I don't care. That's just me. I mean, if it's like you're buying it 4 times a year, who cares how much it is? Now, yeah, if you're buying it 2 or 3 times a week, that's a different story.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. From Mind the Drift here, I have a 2020 Honda Insight Touring with around 30,000 miles. Is it foolish to want to trade and sell it or go with a lease? I owe about $5,000 looking at an Audi Q3. Is it foolish? No, I don't think it's foolish. Why would it be foolish?
No, looking at quarter three, maybe. Or looking at a Q3. It's America.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's America. Yeah, you know. Is it foolish? Probably. Do you want to do it? If you want to do it, do it. You know, I had a conversation with your sister yesterday, and the gist of the conversation is life is short. Okay. Do things that are going to make you happy. You know, if you can't afford it, that's a different story. But if you can afford it and it makes you happy to go get a different car to get a Q3, then do it. Just do it. Enjoy your life.
Do it smart. Go ahead and go to deal school and watch that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Self. Thank you, Self. You've been very kind to
me. You're
going to
go broke, Self. Stop it already.
If my girlfriend is underwater by $8,000 on her Dodge Charger RT, what do you recommend she do if she wants a scat pack? Is this a joke question, Self?
Yeah, what do I recommend she do? Well, first of all, if she thinks she's only $8,000 upside down, it's probably 10 or 12. Okay, that's just from experience when people would come in and go, oh, I'm $4,000 upside down on my car. Okay, then we look at the car, then we get the payoff, and it goes, well, that $4,000 is $8,000. Okay, so, you know, what do I recommend she do? Keep paying for her damn car and forget about that scat pack. You know, unless she's got some cash, like about $8,000 or so, to cover her negative equity. If she doesn't have that, and she wants to roll that all into her new car, so that she could suddenly have, I don't know, $16,000 to $20,000 in negative equity. What should she do? Self, you know what she should do. She should ride around in your car.
Yeah, your new AMG. From Graham, yeah. Do you think Jeep Gladiators will get more incentives in April? Yes. I don't see a world where they don't. Because they continue to sit on dealer lots. I think this whole year we will continue to see increased incentives across. all brands, including those that don't have a lot of inventory, like Toyota and Honda. Toyota has subvented interest rates on RAV4s. Why? You know, I don't know, but they do.
I drove back from Castles today following a Prius Prime, and I agree with you. That's a damn good-looking vehicle.
From Space Cadet here, I know this will make you happy, Dad. Ray, is that a Spinnaker Dumas on your wrist?
It is indeed a Spinnaker. I don't know which Spinnaker it is. Maybe it's a Dumas. I don't know. I bought it because it had a white face. And it was cheap. It was like $194 on sale. Automatic, self-winding. I mean, automatic, 1,000-foot waterproof.
So, as one needs.
Well, yeah, because you know I'm going to the bottom of the ocean. you know, when they give me my concrete shoes and throw me over the side of the boat, it is going to be so good to know that that watch isn't going to take on water for the first 1,000 feet that I sink to the bottom. Just saying.
No. Concrete shoes. No. All right, guys, we'll be live tomorrow over on the Car Edge channel. Again, if we can help you out in any way, shape, or form, check out caredge.com. So fun, man. We're off to a great start here in 2024, helping tons of people out, having lots of fun. And we'll be live again tomorrow.
7 p.m. Eastern, with Saturday night with Car Edge. Oh, I'm looking forward to that, buddy.
Yeah. I am too. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it keeps me from having to watch the suns and getting aggravated, better yet. Okay.
All right, folks. See, tune in tomorrow. Dad, I love you. Joe, thank you for spending time with us earlier today. And we'll see you tomorrow.
I feel think very highly of you as well. I think it borderlines on love. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. We good? Are we done? We good?
Of course we're good.